Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
You can be seated just for a minute. I know all of you have heard about the tragedy that took place over in Jackson with the school bus and our Kenwood Middle School. Two of those kids are not with us, and there's others that are still in the hospital. The bus driver is still in critical condition, and it's affected all of us. I know Caleb's brother-in-law teaches school over at Kenwood Middle School, and there's a lot of, you know, some of you are connected in some kind of way to that, and so we want to pray for them. And with that in mind, at 6 o'clock tonight, our Kenwood campus, Kenwood Baptist Church, our interim pastor out there, Brother Al Hodges, is going to host a prayer meeting for the faculty, the staff, and the students of Kenwood Middle School. And you can come to that, anybody that wants to come, but it's going to be a prayer service. I know that's that's a stretch for some of us, but listen, folks, prayer is our greatest privilege and our greatest responsibility. Everything begins and is sustained with prayer. So the altar's open now. If you have a need, you're welcome to come and seek God's face here. Our prayer room's always open for prayer, but that's what's on my heart today, is to pray for those dear families out there. But if you have another need, you come on and pray. So let's do that right now. Just pray for all whoever's on your heart and mind with that Kenwood connection. And if you need to come to the altar and come, just come on. Y'all pray. Just pray for the principal, Dr. Karen Miller. Pray for those teachers, the faculty. They're going to have to do their best to answer questions that are going to be asked. Lift up all the prayer vigils that are taking place tomorrow morning at our schools and our wonderful Kenwood campus that's hosting a prayer for that community. And pray for those children who are traumatized. Some of them now for weeks on end are going to need counseling. Just pray. Father, you are God of creation. You're the God of this universe. Nothing happens without it passing through the filter of your hands. And sometimes, God, we just have to admit we don't understand. But you have a higher purpose and a higher plan in place than we might even begin to imagine. We're finite, but you're infinite. And so, God, we just choose to trust you in this horrible situation. God, I pray that you would touch and anoint all of the leadership at Kenwood Middle School. And every family that's been affected, God, would you just minister life to them, peace that passes all understanding, and guard the hearts and minds of our children, of our middle schoolers. Oh, God, please. You're a Romans 8:28, God, and we know that you have our best interest at heart. And whatever you're doing for our good and your glory. And so, God, we're just going to keep following Jesus and trusting him and know that something big is going to come out of this tragedy. And I'm so thankful, God, that you can turn tragedy into triumph. You can turn ashes into beauty. There is no one like our great God. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. It's good to see all of you here. We've got some fresh faces and some older faces and some folks visiting with us. This is Palm Sunday, right? And so we're celebrating that day today, but it's also our homecoming, our anniversary. We're entering today our 8th year as a church family. Come on, give him some praise in the house today. Hallelujah. And so I thought about preaching a message along those lines, but you know what? I couldn't get away from this passage in John 12. So we're going to look at this Palm Sunday passage. How many of you have a Bible? Hallelujah. How many of you have a digital device? All right. Those have Bible apps on them. I get it. We're in John chapter 12, and when you find John chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 12 through 19 today, the Lord willing. And you would honor God's word by standing as we read. How many of you know he's not only the written word, he's the living word? All right. John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, what's that next word? That's a huge crowd, had come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, in other words, when he went back to heaven where he came from, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Yeah, I guess so. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." My. I haven't done this in months. I'm going to ask my brother-in-law, Shan Smith, to open us in prayer. Just ask God to bless the word today.
Father,
thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege we have to
speak. Yes, Father.
And you listening to our
prayer. Mm-hmm.
The day of Father's coming, we'll do that for us. That real day of Father's coming, when we're asking you to do it. Mm-hmm. Be with us now and hear this prayer. Let me absorb it into our hearts and our minds so that we can share it with somebody who is weak. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. We look at now. The Spirit flows through this building. We welcome you here.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated if you can. Where is Ellie? Is she here? Stand up, Ellie. Are you standing? All right. This little girl and I, yesterday, were out in the neighborhoods around the community, knocking on doors, putting joy bags on people's doorknobs. And when the folks that did come to the door and open the door, sometimes, you know, they'll shut the door when they see me. But she was standing right there in the doorway, and so they would just open the door. And then she got to pray. She prayed with one lady. And Ellie said, "How can we pray for you?" And the lady said, "Well, I've got a really bad back. And I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't heal her." She prayed that God would touch her and heal her back. Yesterday was such a blessing. We knocked on over 45 doors over here at the apartment complex. And it was just a great day. And so we're supposed to do outreach in our community. We should. I better get off of that. All right, let's get back to our passage. But anyways, Ellie, God bless you. And when you go out visiting, take your kids with you. You'll be much more successful. Promise you that. I've entitled the message, Behold, the King is Coming. other than maybe the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, what we're looking at this morning in this passage of Scripture is more familiar than in the life and ministry of Jesus, maybe than any other thing. And we now call that day Palm Sunday. Yes. And on that day, Jesus got on the back of a donkey, and they were laying palm branches and their clothes, which was kind of, you know, that's what you would do when a real king was coming into town. And the people were at fever pitch, and as he's riding down the Mount of Olives and across the Kidron Valley and then up to the eastern gate of Jerusalem, there was multitudes of people there. And this was a grand entrance, a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. For the first time, really publicly, Jesus is presenting himself as their long-awaited king. Grand entrances. They've been a part of human history. I love reading about the great Roman processionals, the Roman triumphal entrances into a city. After they'd win a great victory, sometimes they would move through town, come through town after the Roman army had won a great victory for over one of Rome's enemies. They would come through town. I mean, those processionals were unbelievable. They were awesome. Kind of akin to our ticker tape parades. NFL champions, NBA champions, World Series. You know, after a great victory, our sports teams, they'll ride through town. And they'll be either on the top of a bus or some sitting on cars or whatever. And the crowd's just going wild and cheering and everything. I've got a confession to make. I went to a movie this week. It was called Epic, the Live Concerts of Elvis Presley Movie. I think it was me and three other people in the theater that day. But I'm sitting there, and all the movie was at these live concerts of Elvis. And whenever there was a concert, there would be a huge crowd in the audience. And then the lights would go down and the orchestra and the band would begin to play. And man, people started getting excited when that happened because they knew that the appearance of Elvis was coming soon. And they would begin to clap and shout and they'd begin to stand up and wave and all kinds of, and then at the climactic moment, guess who came prancing out onto the stage? Elvis would come strutting out there and the place would just go off. Unbelievable. That's kind of the atmosphere that day when Jesus came marching into Jerusalem. On the back, he wasn't marching, he was riding on the back of that donkey. We're going to talk about that, you know. And really, I guess in a worldview, fame and fort, all that stuff, this is probably his greatest day in what the world would see for him. I mean, man, people are going nuts. The long-awaited king, and Jesus allowed them to call him the King of Israel that day. And so why would he take this day? What are the reasons for doing that? Well, I've kind of lined out three truths for us this morning on the reasons for Palm Sunday. And I think one of the first reasons that Jesus made his grand entrance, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, was to stir people to action. To stir people to action. He's bringing things to a head. I think Billy said it in Sunday school. He was kind of forcing the hand on everybody. Look with me again at the verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And so you've got this huge multitude of people. And Jesus is riding down the mount. I've been there. I've been on the Mount of Olives. We walked that road into Jerusalem. And there's three different types of folks in this huge crowd of multitude of people. Number one, there is all the citizens who were Jewish out in Judea had come for Passover. And let me tell you, they'd heard about Jesus. I mean, news spread. You know how news gets out in Clarksville and spreads pretty quick, doesn't it? Well, it was that way. And so you've got all these citizens, these Jewish citizens that have come to Jerusalem. Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, tells us there were 2.7 million Jews in town in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And then there's another section or another group of folks in this crowd, and it's those folks who had literally seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. After 4 days, Lazarus had been dead, and Jesus raised him from the grave. And so all of that news was spreading around, and people are asking, "I wonder if this is the Messiah. I wonder if this is the King. Surely he's just more than a great prophet." And so you've got this huge multitude of people that have come out. And then, of course, you've got the religious leaders. Help me to be nice here, Father. And they're wondering. They're seeing how everybody's going after the Lord. And they're wondering, I wonder if there's going to be a revolt against us this week during Passover. Wonder what he's going to try to do during the feast. And so you got this huge crowd. And I believe one of the reasons that Jesus chose this day to announce to the people, to allow them to want to crown him as their long-awaited king, it's the hour of decision for everyone. And that day, everybody was going to have to make a choice. Everybody was going to have to say, "He's the real deal. He's the one." Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26 talks about when this king, this long-awaited king would come, palm branches and clothes would be laid out in the road. And this was a normal thing. Anytime royalty came to your town, that's what they would do. And so you got the crowd at fever pitch, and you've got the religious leaders who are all tore up. And so that day, Jesus is bringing everything to a head, and he wants to stir people to action. In other words, you got to make a decision. It's the hour of decision. Is he really who he said he was? You better believe he was. And so people are having to make that choice. Now, let me say this about this triumphal entry. The word Hosanna means save now. Save now. They're looking at him not as the Messiah and Savior spiritually. They're looking at him as a potential military Messiah, a political power, someone who could get rid of Rome and get them out from under the oppression of Rome and somehow free Israel. That's the way most of them were looking at him that day. And you know, all four gospel writers, Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke 19, right here in John 12, all four of them talk about this very thing, that Jesus was presenting himself to the people. And they're screaming, they're shouting, they're dancing. I mean, they're thrilled. Their long-awaited king is coming. And you know what Jesus is doing? He's weeping. As he's riding down, he looks out over the city, and the Bible says he weeps because he knew the spiritual condition of their hearts. And while they were making the choice, they were making the wrong choice. And he knew what was going to happen just a few years from then. In 70 AD, the Romans would burn the city, tear down the temple. Jesus knew what was ahead for him. And so he's weeping. And these folks are at frenzy level. They're screaming. They're hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is our long-awaited Messiah. This is our time of victory. And Jesus knew their hearts. And by the way, whenever Jesus shows up, you have to make a decision. And by the way, can I just make this jump here? He's here today. His Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit. And he's moving through these rows of chairs. And you're hearing his words. You've been prayed for. And I want to tell you, before you leave here today, you're going to make a decision one way or the other for Jesus. And by not receiving him, you're rejecting him. Those are strong words, but I come here to tell you that I love you, and that's the gospel truth. You're going to make a decision one way or another about Jesus. Y'all with me so far? Don't start throwing the tomatoes. All right. There's a second reason, though, that really, really just jumped out at me. Jesus not only wanted to stir the people to action, he's fulfilling Scripture. Man, look at this. I've already told you, you know, the shouting, blessed is the name of the Lord, that was a fulfillment of Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Listen to this. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written. Now, when Jesus sat down on that donkey, it had never been ridden. Young colt, young foal, a donkey. And when Jesus sat down on that donkey, it was the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. And I'll have y'all know, that donkey didn't buck, that donkey didn't bray, and that donkey didn't bite. Whenever the Lord of creation sits down, everybody listens. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all, say amen. Amen. So, that's fulfilling Scripture. And then he says, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. That phrase, daughter of Zion, that just means the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Zechariah 9:9, Psalm 118. And by the way, everything that was going on that Palm Sunday was fulfilling Scripture. Old Testament predictions, Old Testament prophecies, Old Testament promises. And by the way, the entire life of Jesus and his ministry fulfilled Old Testament predictions, promises, and prophecies. Everything about him. And yet the religious crowd missed it. I mean, you would think of anybody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests, they knew the Old Testament scriptures, and yet they missed it. When you read through the Old Testament, and I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, Jesus is who he said he was. And he did what his Father sent him to do. You see, the Old Testament predicts him, and the New Testament presents him. And every time you're in the Bible, he's on every page. He's in every chapter. He's in every book. He's in the Old Testament, the New Testament. How many of you know this is a hymn book? It's all about him. It's all about him. And he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. How many of you know he's the Prince of Peace? Even when there is no peace, he brings peace. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. All the book tells you about who he is. The entire Bible. Get in the Word of God. Experience him. Let him present himself to you. He's the open door. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the rock of ages. He's the bread of life. Oh, bless God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one like Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the fulfillment of Scripture. And by the way, unless you believe it like it was, you can't preach it like it is. And I might even say, if you don't believe it the way it was, you can't live it like it is. I'm about to get excited. Behold, the King is coming. Then there's one final thing. I don't want to keep y'all too long. Some of y'all are smelling that food right now. Watch this. His disciples didn't understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. You know, John, writing later, after Jesus had gone back to heaven, said, oh, we get it now. We remember the things now that we have seen and heard. He is who he said he was. And then verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Wasn't Billy Walker's Sunday school lesson powerful this morning? Jesus is in the life-changing business, and he's in the business of raising people from death unto life. There should have been a shouting Baptist up in here somewhere for that. Watch this. For this reason, verse 18, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. You see, the crowd is going nuts. I mean, it's better than Elvis coming out on stage. I mean, people are there's multitudes of thousands and thousands of people lining the streets as he's coming down the Mount of Olives and entering in through the Eastern Gate. I mean, this is an amazing, amazing day. And the Pharisees, verse 19, therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. In other words, they're looking at one another. We hadn't done a thing to stop this movement. And he says, look, the whole world's gone after him. You see what he's doing here, y'all? He is forcing their hand. And man, the very fact that those palm branches are laying out in the street and people are laying their clothes down, and the very fact that he's sitting on that donkey, and the very fact that they're screaming, oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our King, the King of Israel. The fact that they're shouting and clapping and screaming and praising God. And by the way, the same crowd that day that wanted to crown him, just a few days later wanted to crucify him. You see how fickle our hearts are. And then the religious leaders, what are we going to do now? Everybody's gone after him. And so they immediately begin to make plans. And they're moving towards the cross. And here's the last thing. Jesus did so on this day. He was the Lamb of God. But he would become their Passover lamb and ours that day. I wish I had more time to unpack this, but without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. None. And when Jesus, get this now, listen to me. It's Passover. And at 3:00 normally on Passover in the afternoon, there were probably 250,000 lambs in the streets of Jerusalem. And then they would pin those lambs up for 4 days, make sure there's no blemishes, no spots, that they were perfect in every way. And then at 3:00 on Passover, they would sacrifice all of those lambs and have their Passover feast in their home. And at 3:00 in the afternoon, the Lamb of God is paying for the sins of the whole world. and bowed his head and said, "It is finished." And I stand here today to tell you, this great King that came is coming again. He's coming again. And when he comes again, he's not coming riding on the back of a donkey. He's coming riding on the back of a great white horse. He's not coming in misery. He's coming in majesty. He's not coming as a condemned criminal. He's coming as our conquering King. Hallelujah. He is coming. And some of you are not ready. Some of you are not ready should he come today. You know why you're here today? God put you here today. He put you here today. He brought you here so that you could hear the gospel truth. I want to close with the. I know I've told y'all don't pay any attention when the preacher says I'm closing, but let me read these verses here in Luke 19. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had even known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in you one stone upon another." He's talking about what happened in 70 AD. The temple was torn down. All the stones were rubble. But here's what I want you to hear. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Can I just tell you, just as lovingly and bluntly as I know how to tell you, this is your time of visitation right here today. The Spirit of God is with us. He is moving. And some of you are here, and if he should come, you'd be left behind because you have not, your life hadn't changed a bit. You claim you may be on some church roll. You may have been baptized. You may have put money in an offering plate at some point in time along the way, but your life has never been transformed and changed by the blood of Jesus, and you need to be saved. Amen. Don't miss the time of your visitation today. Don't miss it. And maybe you're a believer and the Holy Spirit's making some other kind of visit today. Maybe you're supposed to be doing something that he's calling you to do, and up until now you've been disobedient. What's he saying to you? You know, God has a bigger, better plan for your life than you do. Amen. He loves you. There's a reason he created you. There's a reason that you're here today. Listen to him. He doesn't need me to tell you what to do. He'll tell you. Amen. Don't you miss the time of your visitation this morning. We're going to have what we call an altar call now. We always have one here at Second Mile Church. I'm not against filling out cards and all that stuff, but I want to tell you what. Jesus died publicly for us. I still believe in a public profession of faith. Amen. I still believe in people coming forward. And for whatever reason, Andrew, where are you? Y'all, come on right now. Whatever you're doing, whatever God's saying to you, whether it's for salvation or maybe it's an obedience issue, baptism, church membership, maybe you ought to be serving in some area or some capacity. I believe God's calling people to the ministry in this crowd. Here's two sitting right over here. I believe God's still calling people to missions. I believe there's some missionaries that are here, and you just need to answer the call. Just do what he's telling you to do. And that's what this time of decision is always about here at the end of the service. It's the most important time of the service. Because you see, you're confronted with a decision every time you hear the word or read the word. Our prayer room's open. If you need private prayer, if you need some counseling, you need some advice, in just a moment when we start singing, you can head back there. And if you need to make your public statement of faith today, just your coming will say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Or maybe there's some other issue and you just want to come to the altar and pray. Now's the time. Don't miss the time of your visitation. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing, and you're going to get out of your chair and come. Father, would you give us the courage and the wisdom to do what you're telling us to do? I'm not here to coerce anybody. If I can talk you into something, you can get out of anything. But God, if you're speaking to people here, and I know you are, I pray that we'd be obedient and sell out to your will and your way right here today. Because the King is coming. And some of us aren't ready. Whatever you want to do now, Lord, it's yours. We promise to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.